Good morning, guys. Good to see y'all. Just so everybody knows, I am, deaf already, and I have been sick for the last week, so I am deaf times like five. So if you talk to me in little voices, there's a good chance I'm not even going to acknowledge you, because I'm not even going to know that you're trying to talk to me. I'm not even going to be able to hear it. So heads up, I can hear way worse than normal right now. And so just, if you want to say something to me, say it loud and like at my face. And then I think I'll be able to hear it well. appreciate you guys praying for me while we were while I was traveling last weekend. And thank you to Jesse and to Dave for covering for me while I was out. I appreciate that stuff a ton. We're continuing our class today, talking through biblical hospitality. We're gonna do a review, and then we're gonna do a case study of some texts that are good examples of biblical hospitality. But first, we're just gonna kind of walk back through the stuff that we talked about, because I know we took a week or so off since the last time we talked, just so I make sure we've all got it lodged into our brains. And then we're gonna kind of make sure that we get it by, like I said, taking a look at some case studies and trying to understand better. So let's pray, and then we'll start together. Father, thank you so much that you teach us and instruct us by the power of your word. I pray that we would submit to it joyfully, that we would receive your instruction, and that we would honor you through it. Help us to be a people that reflects your hospitality to the world. And may we, in our loving affection towards others, may we win them to your kingdom by your grace, and may we demonstrate your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so jump off text for this. I call it a jump off text because this is not like a perfect encapsulation of text, but it's Galatians 2:20. Who's got that memorized? Anybody got that memorized? Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives within me. Do you guys not listen to little kid Bible verse songs? Like, what's wrong with you guys? Come on, man. Y'all got to have this. I know every Amadon was fighting the urge to sing that with me as I was saying that. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what hospitality is, okay? Hospitality is a giving of yourself for someone else, right? So when we talk about hospitality, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What do you think of automatically? We're from South Louisiana, and that means that we think of food. We think of food, and we think of inviting people to the house and making them something that involves rice, right? Like some kind of, it's chicken and rice, it's a rice and gravy, it's an it's a whatever, like we're gonna bring them some delicious starchy dish. That's what we think of that whenever we think of hospitality. But it's not only that, okay? It's not only that. Hospitality is a giving of yourself for someone else. It's a sacrifice of yourself. So it's food, sure, but it's also time, it's money, it's resources, it's your family. That's really what we're talking about here. We're talking about a willful giving of yourself for the betterment of someone else. That's the fundamental truth of hospitality. I think it would be better, excuse me, I think it would be better for us if we were able to think of it more as service of the other rather than dinner. Y'all know what I'm saying? I think if we think about it as only dinner, which hospitality, it should involve a meal. That's true. It should involve that type of thing. But I think we can make the error of trying to create something that's more like a formal dinner situation that can actually be a burden for our guests. You know what I'm talking about? Like if you have somebody over to your house and your house is perfectly arrayed, and the moment that they come in, you're like, oh, would you please take your shoes off? Take your shoes off. Your kids are kind of into my stuff. And they're kind of messing up my house right now. And so that's stressing me out, That's not hospitable. Do you get what I'm saying? Like that's actually you're being inhospitable with them in that moment. Now, if their children are literally destroying your house, you should say, "Hey, please don't tear the paint off the wall." This is too far. this is too far. No, you're hanging out. You're hanging out. It's gonna be okay. I love you though. Do y'all follow with me here? So hospitality is service to the other person. It's not just I'm inviting you over for a big fancy dinner. You're bringing somebody into your family to love them and to serve them well. Do y'all see the difference there? Okay, good. So we're not just talking about food, although that's a part of it. And we're not just talking about dinner parties, although that's a part of it. What we're really talking about is service to our neighbors. And at the fundamental piece of it is a sacrifice of yourself for someone else, okay? I could tell you a story about the Rileys, because they're not here, and this will go on the internet. So we had the David Rileys over to the house one time, you know, and they have littles. And you know what littles do? They are into things. Amen. Like they are, and if it is not secure, it will be manipulated. Whatever that thing is. Do you know what I'm talking about? So we had the Rileys over the house and we're all hanging out and visiting and enjoying our time together. And then in the background we hear right. And we're like, oh no, what's happened? And one of the kids had managed to open up one of the china cabinet doors and found something and was, you know, it was pretty. And so they were like, I'm going to play with this pretty thing. And then it broke on the ground. And that's part of it. That's part of it. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, when you are inviting somebody into your family, first off, and if you didn't lock up the fine china, that's your own fault. You should have done that. You should have put locks on those doors. But if you're inviting them into your life, you're inviting them with a degree of generosity. Everything that they are bringing with them, you are welcoming in a capacity. Now, if they sin against you, then, you know, deal with the sin. If you sin against them, then deal with the sin, or confess and repent and all that stuff. But if you are trying to be hospitable to people by being inhospitable to them, by being unwelcoming to them, you're doing it wrong. You're creating unnecessary burdens. Y'all know what I'm saying? So let's say that you're, all right, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to invite five families to my house at the same time who all have kids under four. Great. Y'all better hang out outside. You know, like you just willfully outnumbered yourself by a lot, right? And so that means that those children, you need to create an environment that's hospitable for that family. Do you get what I'm saying? You need to create an environment that's hospitable for those children. So you're not going to welcome them into your glass house that can never get dirty whenever you just said, yes, I would like 23-year-olds in my home at the same time. That sounds phenomenal. That's not fair to them. And you're going to create an environment where you're actually going to be, you're going to be causing problems. You're going to be causing unnecessary divides. If you want to do stuff like that, then do it. Knock it out of the park, but do it outside, right? Do it outside or find an environment that works well. Hospitality is not placing burdens on other people. It's sacrificing your preferences for others. That's fundamental, basic Christianity. Okay, y'all got that? Amen? This is not hard. This is easy stuff. All right, so let's review this question. So that's what really hospitality looks like, right? If you're going to be generous, you're going to be generous. You're going to be kind. You're not going to be hospitable to people by being inhospitable to them. Don't do that. Now, let's ask this. Who are the people that we should be hospitable to? Does anybody remember? This was from a couple of weeks ago. Who are the folks that we should be hospitable to? The stranger. And who's the stranger? I appreciate that you said that loudly, and I heard it clearly. You pressed in. Like, I could see it in your soul, and I'm grateful for it. So who is the stranger? Do you guys remember? Who is the stranger? The ones on the fringes. That's right. Okay, so when we read passages like Leviticus 19, verse 34, where it says, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So when we read passages like that, sometimes our temptation is to carry our definition of the word stranger into that context, okay? And our definition of the word stranger is someone I don't know at all, right? But that's not the definition here.
You shall treat the stranger who sojourns among you. Okay? So in Israel's time, when Leviticus was being written down, when these laws were being written down, there was an understanding that they had the God-fearers that would come and sojourn, dwell alongside Israel. Y'all get with me here? And so they weren't necessarily Jewish people. They weren't necessarily a part of Israel proper, but they were nomads. They were people who were a part and traveled along with and lived near and around Israel itself, okay? So when we say stranger, it doesn't mean that they're complete strangers that we've never met before. They're people who dwell among us. They're just kind of on the fringes. That's the stranger. So when we talk about showing hospitality, when we think about verses like that, the people that we have to make sure that we include are folks who are coming to church, are folks that are trying to get connected to church, but they're still kind of on the edges. Do y'all get what I'm saying? This is a huge part of the reason that we've started doing snacks after Sundays. Okay? Y'all, have y'all noticed that for the last couple of weeks? We have like cheap cakes and, you know, little things like that. It's amazing. If you have food, people hang out. That's just the rule. If you just have some type of food, folks want to hang out. But that's the main part of the reason of that, because folks come here and they want to meet people and they want to get connected to people, but we need to give an avenue for those meetings and those connections to happen. And so we have cakes and cookies. This year, some of our cookies are July 4th themed. Why not? This Sunday, I should say. And we do that on purpose so that we can have some time to be hospitable with one another, to get to know each other a little bit better, to spend time with each other, and to help break, you know, the social ice. Does that make sense, guys? So we're not saying that you should follow along with and invite people into your house that are completely unknown to you. You met them on the street and you said, why don't you come have dinner with me? That's not quite where we're going here. We're talking about the stranger in the sense of people who are on the fringes. Okay, very good. So do not neglect to show hospitality. This is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels. 1 Peter 4, 9 says, show hospitality to one another without, y'all remember the rest of that verse? Without complaining. Okay, why do you think it says that? This is still, we're still reviewing here. Why do you think it says that? No, I can't hear. Because we have a tendency to complain. That's true. Thank you. What'd you say, Ashley? Oh, okay. Let me say it this way. He specifically connects it to hospitality. Why? Because when people come over to your house, what do you have to do after they leave? You gotta clean. You gotta do the dishes. Now, you know, if you're really serving each other well, everybody helps with the dishes, and it's a way to bond as everybody's leaving. But you gotta do that, right? Whenever you have people come over to your house and they got little kids, the little kids might have pulled all the toys out, right? In one of the rooms, and now all the toys got to go back. Oh, they're coming over to my house again. They're going to mess up my stuff. I just cleaned this place. I cleaned to have them over, and now I have to clean again now that they're gone. You know, like, we grumble about those things. We complain about those things, and we need to make sure that we're not doing that. Hey, buddy, you got to sit up. All right, what about Romans 12, 13? Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So we've got hospitality, which targets the believers in the church and those on the fringes of the church, all right? And after those things, then we worry about other areas too. Now, Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, this is still part of our review here. There's a temptation for us to wield hospitality for like a way to advance ourselves. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, is that really being hospitable? So if you're trying to say, hey, I'm trying to get this job, so I'm going to have the guy who's hiring over to dinner with the family so he'll like me more, is that hospitality? Not really. Not in this sense. I mean, you know, sure. Like, maybe you want to get to know him better. Maybe you just have him over to the house. In some sense, you're being nice to him, but that's you trying to make a play. That's you trying to say, hey, I want to do this. If you're trying to wield hospitality to climb a social ladder, okay? Hey, these people have more influence in the church. I'm going to have them over to my house for dinner so that hopefully I can also get some more influence in the church and I'll climb that social ladder. If that's what you're trying to do, that's not actually hospitality at all. That's the opposite of it. That's you trying to manipulate people in a situation. Luke chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, it says, "He also said to the man who had invited him, 'When you gave a dinner, a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just.'" He says, Jesus' point really is that if we're going to be hospitable, we should be hospitable. We're not wielding it as a weapon for gain. And he says if we're truly being hospitable to people who we're not trying to wield it as a weapon for gain, we'll actually be repaid. Did you notice that? He says if you're trying to be generous to other people so that you can get a higher social status, so that you can get more credibility, you're going to actually lose. But if you serve those beneath you, you will be repaid. You will win. It's a different thing entirely. So you need to make sure that your motives are straight. So what is our, let's see if we remember this from last time. What are our priorities with hospitality, okay? What should we, what's the right order? Who should be the first recipient of hospitality from us? I'm so sorry. I know y'all are talking. Your family, yes, yes, my wife, my dear, lovely wife, yes. So the first recipient of your hospitality should be family. Okay, should be your fam, and here's what I mean by that. So let's say you got a little family, you got kids at the house or whatever, and all your kids, their lives are miserable because you're ruling the house like a tyrant. They're not flourishing, they're not thriving. The house is in chaos. The dishes are never done. There's laundry everywhere. You got undisciplined children running amok all over the house. Like everything's. That's not a hospitable environment. Do you get what I'm saying? You haven't practiced hospitality first in the home. You haven't loved them. You haven't shepherded them rightly. You haven't cared for them carefully. And now for you to say, hey, friend, why don't you come over to my house? You're actually inviting them. It's just like we talked about earlier. You're inviting them into an inhospitable environment. Do y'all follow with me here? This is important stuff. So you want to make sure that first, the first target of your hospitality is your family. You got to make sure that they're provided for, they're cared for, they're taken care of as they should be. But if anyone, this is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So you start with your family, then you go out in a concentric circle to who? Family to... I think people are talking and I just can't hear you. Family, friends, but a better way to say friends inside of the context of the local church is your church members, right? Yeah, that's good. So you go from family to your church, and then from your church you go out to others. Your house should be the most hospitable place. You know, the folks that you live with should feel that, should sense that. Your church should be a hospitable place to those within it, and it is from that place that we overflow into the world around us. Okay, do y'all have questions about that? So there's an order here. There's an order here. Does this mean that your house has to be perfect before you invite anybody into it? No, but it does have to be hospitable. What's the difference? Your attitude is a large piece. Yes, that's true. How could you have an inhospitable attitude? Can an inhospitable person still invite people to their house? Yeah, they can. How? What would that look like? What would it look like for an inhospitable person to have people over? Let's have dinner. We're having steak. You're cooking it. You know, like sure, that would be one way. What would be another way? Okay, yeah, you're inviting them over, and you don't actually give them any freedom inside of your house. That would be one way. What else? You invite them over and then they babysit for you. Yeah, that would be quite the thing. Yeah, yeah. That would be an inhospitable hospitality invite. Can you think of any other options? This is fun. I feel like some of y'all might be telling me stories that have happened to you. They make you clean. Yeah, that's another thing. They make you clean up. Hey, come to my house. Also, can you get here 30 minutes early and, you know, clean things? That could be an inhospitality person. Although I do think it would be good if you're invited over to somebody's house to be like, can I help with that? And just a general disposition. Anything else? Oh, no. Have you heard about Amway? You know, like, I'm glad that we got to have this dinner. I know, like, you ever got one of those messages from a friend on the social medias? You haven't heard from them in like 20 years. And then all of a sudden they reach out to you. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about a great opportunity that I found with Mary Kay or whatever. Nobody's soliciting me for Mary Kay. But, you know, you get the idea. And you're just like, oh, man, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, that's an inhospitable hospitality invite. That's a very, very true thing. And it goes back to the beginning, what we were talking about at the very beginning, right? You're inviting people into your home. But the moment that they walk in, you place 1,000 rules upon them. Okay? You've actually created an inhospitable environment. You want to create environments for the people that you're bringing into your life that is hospitable to them. And we're going to talk about this more in a second when we get to a case study. It is your burden as the host in situations of hospitality to create the environment for them that is hospitable to them. Now, within reason, right? Okay, this child is such a terror. I have made a little padded room for them to play in. You know, okay, that now we got that's too far. You know, like we've gone too far. No, those parents need to be teaching that kid to repent. So yeah, Jesse. What do you mean? Somebody who's a weaker brother. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, so if you're inviting over someone who's a weaker brother, genuinely a weaker brother and not a Pharisee, so there's a difference there, right? And this goes back to our class on alcohol that we had a while back. So, but if you're inviting somebody over who is a genuine weaker brother, then you should serve that person. Like if they're like, I think if I eat meat, I sin, then you don't serve meat that night whenever they come over. Like that's kind. Like you're loving them well. That's being hospitable to them. Same thing applies with alcohol. Like if they're convinced in their mind that alcohol is a sin, which it's not, you know, the Bible makes that explicitly clear, it's not. But if they're convinced in their mind that it is, then you're being kind and loving to them and you're saying, hey, okay, then we won't have wine here. Now, that's not to say there's a difference between the weaker brother and the Pharisee. Y'all remember this from our class on alcohol? So the Pharisee is the guy who shows up and starts telling everybody in your church that alcohol is a sin. Okay? They've created their own separate sect, their own separate cult off to the side. Those guys need to be silenced. You know, the Bible's like, hey, you deal with them completely differently than you deal with somebody who's a weaker brother. All right? Those are the guys that you got to kind of deal with in a in a rebuking kind of way. Those are the guys that, that's why Jesus, you know, feasted and drank in front of the Pharisees, and they were so bothered by it because they had made up extra rules. That's what Jesus does. Jesus figures out what extra rules you made up, and he goes, sweet, I'm going after them. That's what he does. He goes right after them. That's good. Anything else? Inhospitable hospitality? Yes, son. Well, that might be a kindness to them. Like, what if all the other rooms are full of guns and swords and they're 3-year-olds? You know? You might be like, you shouldn't play in any of those rooms here. Those rooms sound awesome. I want to see all those rooms. Yeah, maybe guns and swords that aren't restrained. lock your guns and swords up whenever the three-year-olds come over. It's another hospitality lesson. I don't think we have that. Well, you're doing a good job, buddy. I appreciate you thinking about this. That's what we mean by being hospitable to them. You want to put good restraints, but only good restraints. All right. So, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. So if you're not hospitable to your family, stop there, fix that first, and then move concentric circles out, okay? Be hospitable to your family, then invite people into that hospitality, then worry about the church and those on the fringes of the church, and then worry about outsiders. But Pastor Stewart, hospitality sounds like a lot of work. Well, that's because it is. Hospitality is actually defined very clearly in the Bible as a sacrifice. Did you know this? This is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. You can write that down somewhere because you'll want to save that for later. But it says this: do not neglect to do good and share what you have, okay? For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. That's what the Bible defines hospitality as. It's a sacrifice. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, because that's a sacrifice and it's pleasing to God. Hospitality, real biblical hospitality, is a sacrifice. It absolutely is. You are extending your financial burden. You are extending your time burden. You are giving of yourself. You are cleaning the house. You are re-cleaning the house. All of those things are true. Hospitality is a sacrifice, and it's a good one. And it says here that such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Amen? All right, let's do some case studies. Genesis chapter 1. Y'all go there. Pull it up. Genesis chapter 1. I think this is the easiest place for us to do a walkthrough case study on biblical hospitality. Easiest place, okay? Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 teach us thoroughly how God prepared the world for who? For man, for us, right? God was hospitable to us from the jump. He created an environment that was for us. And so we should look to how this environment was created. We should look to what he's done and take some notes and try and understand a bit more about what it was, about what it was that he created and how he created it. So first off, in the beginning, we're just going straight from the beginning, okay? In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, there was nothing. And then God did what? He made something. He made a space, okay? He created a place for mankind to exist, to gather. And he was forward thinking about what he was doing. But before we even have that, what do we have? This is a little bit of an abstract question, but I'm trying to help us understand something a little bit more here. Before we even get to reading the text, does anybody notice something else that God has done hospitality-wise for us? This is a little abstract, so I might not be able to bring you there with me, but hopefully I can. God, Robin's got it! Yeah, very good! Okay, that's it. You got it. Before we even get to reading the text, one of the things that we have to realize is that God gave us a text. Do you get what I'm saying? He gave us instruction. He gave us the story about who he is and what he's done for us. That's a hospitable move. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, God was not required to do so. He had no obligation, but he did it anyway out of love for us as his people. God gave us his word. That was a stooping down, a sacrifice, a serving thing for him to do for us. He gave us his instruction. Very good. Thank you, Robin. Man, I'm so proud of y'all. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made a space for us. He made a place for us. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So he created, there's a little bit of disorder, And then what did God do to the little bit of amalgamated disorder in the beginning? What did he do to it? He ordered it, right? He goes on to say in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God called the light good. He separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Then God said, let there be an expanse, and he ordered all those things, and it was so. Skip down to verse 9. Let the water under the heavens be gathered together in one place. And so he's continuing to order creation. Boom. All of that beginning is God creating a space for us as his people, being hospitable to us in that space, and then ordering that space in a way that would be best for us. Do you get it? He gave us day and night. He gave us water and land. He gave us separation of the, you get, all those things are important. This is something that's important for us to remember as people who are attempting to be hospitable towards others. You, when you're inviting people in, you need to create an environment that is for them. This goes back to the stuff that we were talking about at the very beginning. If you're inviting folks over, what's some real practical ways that we can apply this? How can we create an environment that's best for our guests if we are being hospitable? Set a table, okay? Just leave them on the floor, bud. Just let it be. Just let it be. Let it be. Make sure they got somewhere to sit. We don't like to eat standing up. Amen. You know? Okay, what else? If they have small children, we want to be hospitable to those small children. Make sure that they have perhaps you should make some chicken nuggets, you know? Like that's always a good strategy. For a long time, whenever we first planted the church, I have this memory of us just kind of always having, I think it was either chicken nuggets or hot dogs and mac and cheese at the ready. You know, like it was just sitting there and we were like, because you don't know. Like every now and then you got that family who's got the kid and it's like, what does that kid eat? And they're like, cheese. And like, does the kid eat anything else? And they're like, no, just cheese. Maybe occasionally some noodles with the cheese, but mostly just cheese. And so you're like, hey, I'm trying to create a hospitable environment for this kid. Okay, got it. What else? What else are some ways that we can be hospitable? We can make efforts to be hospitable. Turn the AC down. That's right. Listen, we keep our house at a nice, comfortable 85. We're really working hard to save on the bills here. I got to tell you, if I walked into a house that was 85 degrees, I'd walk in like this, and I would sit down in the corner, and I would just say, please, Jesus, help us. You know, please. You would see... Never mind. You'd see horrible things. It'd be terrible. So yeah, AC down. Turn the AC down. Make it comfy in your home. That's true. That's true. Some of y'all are like, it's not 85, Stuart. It's 78. Okay, same difference. Same difference. Okay, same difference. What else? What's some other ways? Set the table. Very good. We got set the table. We got certain types of food. We got, all right. what if you got somebody who's got allergies? You should ask that question before they show up, huh? Yeah. That's a way to be hospitable to them. Yeah, like my son says, like a cat allergy. If you've got somebody who has a cat, thank you, buddy. You got it. You're doing a great job. If you've got somebody who's got a cat allergy, you should be concerned about that. If they've got a food allergy, don't serve them peanuts, you know, just so you have a general idea. And don't wait till they show up to be like, oh, are you allergic to everything we're eating tonight? Whoops! You know, that's not being hospitable necessarily. Can you think of anything else? But you get the point here. You're trying to create an environment that's hospitable to them. And hospitable, and you want to create an environment that's going to allow everybody to thrive. So, you know, lock up the rooms with the guns and the swords in them. Unless maybe you have age-appropriate activities with guns and swords, in which case, you know, knock it out. Why not? They'll have fun. That'll be a good time. outside events are great for people with armies of little children. Like, put them outside and just let them run. That's great. Not in August, because it's 103 degrees, but that's great for the fall and the spring. All those things are good. Can you think of any others? Any other ideas about creating an environment for the people that are coming to attend, for the people that are participating? What about time? They've got little tiny kids, and those kids go to bed at, you know, little tiny kids go to bed at what? Like 7, 7:30, depending? 9? And depends on the family, yeah. But you would want to ask them before you invite them to your house, hey, what time do your kids go to bed? So that you can start and finish at a reasonable time. If they said the kids go to bed at 5, then be like, I guess we'll meet for lunch. I don't know. I don't know how we'll fix that, you know? You want to be conducive to those things? Maybe if they've got a little baby that takes naps at an odd time, you have a spot for the baby to take a nap, right? Like a little crib or something somewhere off to the side. You see what I'm talking about? Like, you're trying to create a hospitable environment for the people that are coming into your family, because that's what the Lord did for us. Amen. All right, verse 11. This is still Genesis chapter 1. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, which is in their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation. Verse 14. And God said, let the lights in the expanse separate the day from the night. Yeah, you get all the ideas. He orders. And then verse 20. Let the waters swarm with living creatures, and let birds above the earth fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and all the creatures that move, with which the water and swarm according to their kinds. Are you starting to notice something else, though? Okay, so there's space. Then there's obviously food, right? Okay, we took the plants and the vegetation. But there's also something else that's going on. Can you notice? It's kind of subtle, but it's there. There's the ordering, right? But there's the stars in the sky. And then there's the birds in the air that they're not even eating yet. And then there's the vegetation, and not all the vegetation is for food, is it? No, it's not all consumable, and all the animals aren't consumable, and the stars serve a different purpose other than the just purely functional. Like, so we can read this account, I'm running out of time, we can read this account, and if we just read it at a cursory quick look, the thing that you're going to come away with is pragmatism. You're going to say, see, each and everything had a distinct function. And if it didn't have a function, we should get rid of it. But that's not the bounds of hospitality, okay? What else is going on here? There's something very specific that's happening. Did anybody notice what it is? Oh, man, somebody said it. I think you said beautiful things. Okay, yes, he did. Yeah, that's it. It's beauty, right? He's creating an environment that's not just hospitable to them in the sense that it won't kill them, although that is true. And it's not just hospitable to them in that it meets their basic functional needs. It's also beautiful, right? The stars in the sky, the birds that are flying, the plants that aren't even necessarily for food. They're just for aesthetics. Like there's a beauty to the environment that God is creating for them. So it's it's not just space that doesn't kill you, although that's great. Let's start there, okay? And it's also not just, we will not only not kill you, we will feed you and probably not kill you with the food too. You know, okay, so it's also not just that, but there's an aesthetic beauty, an aesthetic pleasing that happens in this environment as well. And this is something important for us to, that's like level 3, okay? So level 1 is, I'm going to invite someone to my house and I'm going to create an environment for them that doesn't kill them. All right, that's level 1 hospitality, okay? Level 2 is they leave better than when they arrived. Like, I've fed them, you know? Okay, that's level 2 hospitality. Level 3 is, and it was a beautiful experience, okay? Now, level 3, just speaking from personal experience here, really demands a woman's touch, okay? Because, like, I mean, y'all should go check out Jesse and Luke's bachelor pad. There is no woman's touch here. What'd she say? It's not beautiful. It's not beautiful. Although, you know, Jesse talked to me this past week about maybe hanging up some Christmas lights, and I'm like, I mean, that's bachelor pad beauty right there. You know, that's like a dude hangs up Christmas lights, he's like, man, check out this aesthetic. You know, we got some high-level stuff going on here now. I'm just proud of them for not having mattresses on the floor, if we're just being completely honest. they actually have beds and chairs. Like, man, this is next. That's way better off than I was whenever I first started. So y'all are doing great. Y'all are doing great. But a high degree of aesthetic does, I think, require a woman's touch. You know, it just, God made women glory makers. He made women beauty makers. Men don't just naturally think about this stuff. Now, keep in mind, I'm speaking in generalizations here, right? Because some of y'all are like, I don't know, I'm a lady and I have problems with beauty. And then some dudes are like, I think I got a good touch. You know, like, so I'm speaking in generalizations, but generally speaking, this is why God gave Eve to Adam, okay? This is why we have specific lanes that we run in. And this is why we should be training our daughters to be beauty makers too, be glory makers, and to make good food, and to keep a nice house, and to do all these things. We do a Sabbath dinner, and I got to tell you, it's really wonderful. And for our Sabbath dinner, you know, we invite our family, and occasionally we have some friends in. So it's like my parents and Rachel's parents, and then our extended siblings that are close and can still come in. And then sometimes we'll have some friends over too. Excuse me. Man, I'm going to shake this at some point. And we make a point to kind of raise the aesthetic for this. So we have water glasses and wine glasses. And we have little place cards that go out on everybody's spot so everybody knows where to sit. And we have a wine decanter, you know, that we only use once a week for this particular thing, you know. And so it's hospitable. There's beauty involved. And there's a certain high charm that goes with that that you don't get otherwise. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have people over for dinner and you rub elbows and it feels blue collar and that's nice. But when you raise that beauty, it becomes something more. Suddenly it matters more, right? Now, I'm not saying you have to have place cards and wine glasses and water goblets and all that stuff for every party that you have, because I don't think that's true. But I think that as we get better at this skill, we as a church will begin to incorporate beauty more and more into these traditions over time. It's going to take time, but I think we can get there. Now, I'll tell you, that's a sacrifice, though. Like, we wake up Saturday morning, and I go outside, and I do the yard, and Rachel and the girls are in the house prepping. Like, and they're prepping all day. They're working hard. And then when everybody leaves, because we're fancy, and we had wine glasses and water goblets, guess what we have lined up next to the sink? Wine glasses and water goblets. Yeah. And we got to clean them and all that stuff. But man, it's worth it. It's a high experience. There's the welcoming of people into the family. There's the food. They leave better. And then there's the aesthetic. And I like that. Honey? Oh, yeah. Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, I remember that. I remember because you were like, I found these water goblets at a yard sale or something like that. Or someone was dumping these water goblets. And so then we had water goblets. And then same thing with the wine glasses. And then the chargers, Hobby Lobby. Yeah, and so like, and it wasn't like all of a sudden one day we said, we're going to spend $1 bazillion on a dinner setup. You know, it took how long? Almost 20 years? We've almost been married 20 years. It took 20 years, you know, for us to get there. But I think it's a helpful thing for us to aspire to. So hospitality, huge deal. Let's labor towards it more, and we'll talk more about this next week. Y'all have any questions? I went over. Sorry, but I think it's worth it. Y'all have any questions? You've asked your questions, my friend, but I love you. All right, let's pray. That's my son I'm talking to that way. That's my son. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you're good and that you teach us how to be hospitable people because you are hospitable with us. Help us to love and enjoy our time together this morning and honor you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. See y'all in a few minutes.